Bacon. Are you ready, Alabama?
Oh, the band is out on the field!
The band is leaving the field.
And one time, at band camp,
loved the drum.
Man, I do love my drum.
You say that's what she said one more time, I'm gonna pop you.
You're welcome to join the doghouse.
Oh God, I'm so sorry I keep doing that.
Call the big dog now at 866-485-9867.
Be a dog.
The clock starts on my whistle.
How you doing?
It's time for the second half of the Tom Abraham Show. Here he is, the head of the household. Here's drum major Big Dog. It's Tom Abraham.
We strong.
You all may be taking the week off, right, this week, but I'm not.
Justin Thomas just put a double bogey on the card. Sergio Garcia just put a double bogey on the card. Man, everybody's backing up at the Honda. It was just a few moments ago that Tiger Woods put a double bogey on the card, and then he followed that up with a bogey, and he is now at two over par, five off of the lead, which is held by Luke List, who got in with a 66 earlier. And now that thing is going to hold up good. It's just nobody is making any kind of a move now. Justin Thomas at one under and Jason Duffner at one over. Alabama now up 9-2. They have one hit through the first four innings. They're in the bottom of the fifth right now with the bases loaded and two outs. And they are already up 9-2. So the Tide getting it done there against Washington State. They're going to look to go 2-5. And, of course, spring training started today as well in Major League Baseball, and that was a lot of fun to be able to watch some of those games. We'll give you an update on that a little bit later on. Joining us now, though, a guy that does a tremendous job with the mock draft, player evaluation, and really everything NFL, our NFL insider, Brent Sobolewski from the Bleacher Report. Sobo, welcome back. How are you, man?
Well, and I'm rip-roaring ready to go to discuss some gold medal curling.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I did an Olympic update every day during the Olympics, and today my Olympic update was, okay, I'm done. It's over. Okay, when is the gold medal for curling? Is that today? Tonight?
When is that? Tonight at like 1:30 in the morning. So,
oh, really?
If you're actually a fan of curling, and I've actually become addicted to it. So I was only saying it in half jest, but either you're staying up really late or DVRing it and watching it in the morning.
Oh, it's fun to watch. There's no doubt about it. I call it bocce ball on ice, being that I'm Italian. Other people would call it maybe shuffleboard on ice, but I've been a fan of it for a while. But it's one of them things that you just watch every 4 years, and then you never give it a second thought, right, the rest of the way.
Well, that's all of the Olympics, so I won't just call out one sport in that regard.
Yeah, right. That's true. That's a good point. All right, let's get into some of this stuff here. Well, first of all, I want to talk personnel, I want to talk draft, mock drafts, things like that, obviously. How about this crazy story, though, about Jonathan Martin, huh? Being taken into custody after a threatening tweet that he did? That's crazy, isn't it?
Well, it's seriously unfortunate. And considering the current landscape of our country, when you have someone threatening in that manner, and not only threatening as an 18 or 19-year-old, but someone in your late 20s, potentially making the decision to walk into a school with a loaded weapon, and we don't know exactly what's happened. All we know is that he's in custody at the moment after making the threat on Instagram. It's just another indictment of where we stand when it comes to handling mental health and moving forward in that regard, because we know there's a history there with Jonathan Martin. We know that he needed to get help throughout that entire process with the Miami Dolphins and what he went through being bullied in that locker room. And whether he feels he's standing up for those being bullied or not, it's inexcusable to even mention the fact that you could be walking into a school with a loaded weapon, let alone following through. So I hope he gets the help that he absolutely needs, but until he does so, we need to keep him under surveillance, and obviously the police have already done so in that area.
Yeah, especially in this obviously time-sensitive era, to have something like that, man, it was just disturbing, certainly, to see that. All right, let me ask you about the draft. First of all, will you be at the draft? Will you go to the draft?
No, I usually don't attend, although I'm looking forward for a couple in a year or two when it hits the Canton area, because that's close to me, and I would love to see that event in that town, considering it's the birthplace of football with the Hall of Fame and all the $2 billion plans they have to build up the Hall of Fame. So short answer, no. Ask me in a year or two because I'll probably be there.
You know, I got no interest in being at it. I was stunned to see this. I mean, for people who talk about, you know, the waning interest in the NFL or whatever, 100,000 fans have already signed up for the NFL draft lottery to go to the draft, to get tickets to go to the draft, which is 11% more than last year. And I'm like, yeah, boy, people don't care about the NFL much anymore, do they? 100,000 people in the first couple of days since they announced this lottery. And I'm like, I love the TV coverage. And now it's going to be on Fox, too. It's going to be like a political, you know, convention. It's going to be on all the channels pretty soon. But you know, I'm stunned to think that that many people really want to go and sit there and watch names get called.
I believe it's just the overall festivities now. The NFL has built it into something that's more than just you hearing a player's name called. You have the red carpet affair beforehand. You have the players coming in not only in the first round but in the later rounds. You have the events outside of the complexes where you can go and take children and they can play on the bounce houses or with the footballs and meet some of the players and stuff along those lines. So it's now a much bigger event, a gala, into how they want it viewed. And I believe you hit on a very important part, Tom. When you're taking it onto Fox, it's not just a niche event anymore when you that's on ESPN or NFL Network. Now you're taking it to a primetime channel and in primetime, and that's absolutely crucial to see this continued growth. And I need to give the city of Philadelphia a lot of credit. Yes, I wasn't there last year, but by every account, they absolutely blew away the event and the attendance and the participation and everything that goes along with the festivities. And now it's become a little bit of a competition. The previous city does really well. If you're the next city, you better be stepping up your game and making a grand event. Otherwise, you're going to be that city that's being made fun of for future events now that it's a touring event overall.
It's amazing. The NFL, crazy like a fox, I guess, when it comes to that stuff. All right. How did your interview with Mason Rudolph go? I see the story posted, but talk a little bit about what your takeaway was from Mason Rudolph after visiting with him, who, by the way, is ranked, you know, by some. I know this might sound a little bit goofy, but a guy that we had on earlier in the week that did a really good job with us on the draft as well, he came on and he has Mason Rudolph as his number one quarterback overall, which was really kind of surprising to me. But what was your takeaway?
Well, getting to talk to him, I wish we could have gone deeper, and that's simply because I love to get into the X's and O's and talk a little ball and kind of hit on the things that we hear as overall negatives. And he did a wonderful job explaining, and at least in one or two of the questions I asked, about what his responsibilities were within the offense. And that's an important part of this process because we look at – and let me give you an example from just today, what my colleague Matt Miller posted, scouts take on some of the top quarterback prospects. And one of the first things mentioned about Lamar Jackson, for example, is he smart enough? Now, we can go into the conversation of exactly what that means, but the reality is when you're questioning those things, it's because you don't have a good understanding of what he was asked to do within his offense. And I find it important that when we attack these type of narratives to discuss these things and to get them out in the open. And even though you may not consistently see it on tape, you need to understand what the responsibilities are within the scheme. And that was the biggest takeaway from it, knowing more of how that Oklahoma State offense runs, how much of the onus is placed on the quarterback, and how much responsibility he has overall. Now, with that said, while I enjoyed our conversation, it was a 45-minute interview overall, lot of things that the question marks we have about his games couldn't be answered simply through a conversation. While he can describe some of the things he's telling me, there still are concerns, and legitimate concerns with his play based on what you see through film over 4 years. And those are things he's working on, his footwork, his upper body mechanics. And I found it surprising, ironically, that he's working with the former Cowboy of the record he broke, all the passing records at Oklahoma State, and that's Zach Robinson. Zach Robinson, who is a disciple of Tom House and the throwing mechanic school guru that you know out in California. So he consistently continues to work on those aspects with the timing and the footwork and how he marries his lower body with his upper body. We can continue to see him improve in certain areas, but that's yet to be determined. And what it comes down to me, is he's obviously a centered young man, comes from a great family, someone that could be a face of your franchise, as long as you're comfortable with what his on-field skill set is, and that's still the question mark.
Yeah. When you look at this quarterback class, and it was funny, you know, what I saw about Lamar Jackson was that conference earlier in the week when they were talking about whether or not, you know, he was tall enough. What now, 6'3" is not tall enough? He's very slight at 200 pounds. He certainly is a playmaker. And who knows if he's smart enough, right? Until he goes through all of the paces at the combine and you know, and we see that, you know, then we will determine. Look, I'll be brutally honest with you. I see a lot of Vince Young when you see his game. I mean, his game is very natural. He's got all kinds of skills and so on. Vince Young, God bless him, was dumb as a stump. And he used to come over. He used to come on my show. He used to come over when I would broadcast from Titans camp. And he was a fun kid, but he was a big kid. But I remember asking Mike Heimerdinger, you know, do you give him read routes? And he says, are you kidding me? Read routes? We got to write on his hand the number of the guy we want him to throw the football to. I mean, it was, you know, it was that bad with him.
I understand questioning of quarterback's ability to process information. That is very much a part of the evaluation, how they are able to understand opposing defenses pre- and post-snap. That's a very big part of the process and trying to understand how that they can react once they, if they have the quick eyes to really get through an NFL defense quickly throughout his progression. That's legitimate. But to openly question how smart he is when you're not doing that with other quarterbacks, that's problematic. And because when you look at Lamar Jackson, yes, absolutely, there's areas within his game that need to be improved. But I can say that about every single one of the prospects that are being considered at the top of the first round, and he's not. And we're not getting the same question marks for them as we are him. If his height's a problem, then why isn't it for Baker Mayfield? If his accuracy is a problem, why isn't it for Josh Allen? And that's the question mark here. That's the double standard that we're seeing with certain prospects as compared to others. And I'm not trying to make it into a racial thing. I just find it problematic that we talk about prospects in a certain way when we have an unfair advantage for other players. And that, to me, that's what becomes bothersome. We need to have an honest conversation about them throughout this process and evaluating them without tearing them down in my opinion, inconsequential ways. At least phrase it differently, or at least point out what exactly you're looking at instead of just giving a blanket statement on a player that's obviously very talented, a good young man, and yes, needs areas to improve.
Is it fair at all to evaluate what a athlete does in a classroom to try and determine how that might equate into football smarts? You know, and in terms of, you know, you got a guy like Josh Rosen who, you know, was pretty good academically and in the classes he was taking and things like that, or Sam Darnold, I don't know, and some of the other guys, you know, maybe not taking a more, you know, a difficult class schedule. Johnny Manziel never went to class, you know, that type of thing. Is it fair to look at somebody and say, you know, he's a really good student, he graduated in 3 years, or he this or that? You know, he seems like a guy that would equate into football smarts.
Well, I look at it as two different aptitudes that can be applicable but don't necessarily correlate. And you've been around the game, Tom. You know what it's like, especially when you're working with high school kids along that line. Some guys, it just doesn't click in the classroom, but you put them on the football field, and they're almost a savant. They understand exactly what you're asking them to do, and they can get after it. And I'm not talking about the Chris Spielman see ball, get ball approach. I'm talking about understanding concepts and absorbing information and being able to relay that to the field. Some individuals are far more have far better aptitude for the game than they do the classroom. Now, when I look at a player like Josh Rosen, for example, we understand he's a brilliant young man, comes from a great family that has had very high status in this country, and he's had all the benefits along the way. I believe that he is also the best at processing information when he's on the field. He understands what's asked of him. He was in a system that was asked to do a lot of the things that you would see at the NFL level on a consistent basis. Does that necessarily mean once he steps in the NFL, that's going to correlate? That's the question mark, and that's the question mark we have for all these, because when you look at Baker Mayfield, for example, comes from a completely different system. And one of the first things you hear that's a knock against him is, well, he played in the Big 12 where they don't have any defense and it was a wide-open air raid offense. Well, yes, that's absolutely true. But how does he take that information that's been given to him and translate it to what he's being asked to do? And that's a very big difference. And we saw that difference with Marcus Mariota. Everyone knocked him for his system coming out of Oregon. No one ever been successful coming out of Oregon, at least as a quarterback. But if you watched him closely, how his eyes and the way he went through his progressions and how quickly he was able to pick up the nuances, you could tell that that was going to translate to the NFL. You can tell that with Baker Mayfield to an extent. Yeah, because when you talk to people that's been around him, and I'm using him as an example simply because you have the dichotomy here, when you talk to people about Baker Mayfield, they say he's basically a sponge, that he's almost has an eidetic memory when it comes to understanding plays and what's happened on the field. And that's something you hear that's a common denominator between a lot of the top quarterback prospects. So while I believe that classroom intelligence can translate, it's not necessary to still be an intelligent football player.
Brent Sobolewski with us from Bleacher Report, talking a lot about the NFL draft. We're focused on the quarterback class. We have seen, guys associated to the number one pick overall. We've seen Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, even Josh Allen. Pretty much you're just rotating everybody through depending on whose mock you look at as to which quarterback Cleveland might take with the number one overall pick. So we take those four guys. I still think you add in Lamar Jackson because I think he's in that top group. Mason Rudolph, and I think you have to add him into that group there. So let's take those six guys off the table. Are there and I'm not saying all six are going to be first-round guys, but are there quarterbacks in this next level that someday, 2-3 years down the road, that we are going to be talking about in the NFL? Is this how deep is this quarterback class? I'm talking about guys like Riley Ferguson or Luke Falk or JT Barrett out of Ohio State. Could he be a Dak Prescott who was a fourth round pick? Are there guys in the next wave of quarterbacks that are ones that you need to kind of keep an eye on?
Well, first of all, the fact that you mentioned six potential first-round quarterbacks gives you an idea of how talented the class is overall. And I would argue that this offseason, when you include the draft class and the free agent class, may be the most flush quarterback offseason we've ever seen. But to your point and to your specific question, two names you didn't mention that I would put into the conversation is day two guys with the starting potential would be Kyle Lauletta from Richmond. We saw him light up the Senior Bowl game, and I'm not basing the evaluation purely on that effort since most scouts don't even watch that game. But he's a young man who's a multiple-year starter, a double major if you want to look at in-class learning and how it translates. He was a double major as business and leadership with a father who played for Navy, was in the military. So you see how well and regimented he is as a player and how he translates it to the field. Another one would be Mike White from Western Kentucky. If you want someone that maybe isn't the most mobile quarterback but has the big arm to make all the throws, he's certainly someone that fits that bill. So those are the first two that pop to mind when you ask that question, is once you get beyond that first round into day two, maybe for a team like the Patriots or the Steelers or teams that already have established quarterbacks to draft a round or two later that can eventually develop into their starters.
Is there any of those six guys I mentioned, do you like all or none of those six guys more than A.J. McCarron? Or we'll go to the other end, the guy who's much more accomplished. Somebody's going to give Kirk Cousins big money. And if you had the opportunity to draft a Josh Rosen or a Sam Darnold, would you rather do that than spend, you know, several hundred million dollars, whatever it's going to take, to take a Kirk Cousins if you're the Jets or if you're the Broncos or if you're somebody like that?
Well, if you're a team like Denver or Jacksonville and
or
you
Arizona,
feel your final missing piece to compete for a Super Bowl is the quarterback position, I would strongly advise going after Kirk Cousins. Now, if you're asking me personally based on the availability and what it would take and expenses to acquire Kirk Cousins, I would go immediately towards the younger options in this year's draft, because one, I believe they have more potential long term since Cousins turns 30 years old here in a couple months. On top of it, I believe he's a good quarterback. I don't believe he's a great quarterback. He's a plug and play player who can orchestrate your scheme, but I don't believe he elevates those around him. So when you're considering potentially up in upwards of $30 million per year, his play isn't concurrent with what he's going to be paid. And to me, that's why if I have a pick in the top five, if I'm Cleveland, if I'm the Giants or Broncos or Jets in the sixth and seventh slots, I'm going hard after one of those young quarterbacks, because I believe Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, Baker Mayfield, these guys have legitimate franchise potential, in my opinion. And when you build around those young guys and to develop them, and then while doing so, building up the roster around them, you have better long-term potential than making such a significant investment in the quarterback position during free agency.
What if you are the Buffalo Bills and you're hovering around 9-7? Does Kirk Cousins make the Buffalo Bills a real live contender now in that East that's been dominated by New England for so many years? Does it get them from 9-7 to 12-4? Is he three games better than what you've had with Tyrod Taylor?
I don't believe so. And I know that might be surprising to some, but when you look at Buffalo's roster, it's far from complete. And if your argument, like mine, is that he's not going to elevate those around him on a consistent basis, yes, he'll produce, and yes, he can run your schemes to a high level. But if you want someone that can make plays outside of structure, that can create when things are starting to break down, Buffalo doesn't have that roster yet to place around him to be that successful. They're awful at wide receiver. They have some question marks along the offensive line, depending on what they're going to do with Cordy Glenn. LeSean McCoy may be a potential salary cap casualty. We'll see how that moves forward. The defense isn't complete yet, so they're a year or two away from really reaching that point where they can compete in the AFC East, especially when you have a year or two from now, Tom Brady would be, 42, 43, and give them a legitimate shot to finally win a division.
Yeah. All right, as always, appreciate your work. It's great work. Brent Sobolewski has been our guest. Sobo, have a great weekend. We'll talk next week.
Thanks, Tom. Have a good one, man.
All right, we're going to grab a break. When we come back, let's get back into the basketball story. We'll do it with a guy that does a tremendous job for us each and every week, Josh Ward. He is up next. Plus, we'll talk about some spring needs. Yeah, spring ball starting right now. So we'll talk about that. As well. It's the Tom Abraham Show, 730-1039, The Ump.
Sports Radio 730 and 1039, The Ump, WUMP.
From the University of Alabama, this is Crimson Tide Today. It's a daily update on Bama sports, and it's brought to you by Everwood Treatment Company, the official treated lumber of Alabama athletics. Everwood, wood treated right. Hello, everybody. I'm Chris Stewart. The Alabama women's basketball team lost a heartbreaker last night in Tuscaloosa, falling in overtime to 19th-ranked Georgia, 49-43. Ashley Williams led the Tide with 14 points and 9 rebounds, despite forcing 27 Georgia turnovers. Alabama slides to 17-11 on the year, 7-8 in league play. Next up will be a trip Sunday to 24th-ranked LSU. The Bama men's basketball team will host Arkansas Saturday. It'll be a 5 o'clock tip for Avery Johnson's team at Coleman Coliseum. We'll have radio coverage on the network beginning at 4. And Alabama softball makes its 2018 home debut, hosting the Easton Bama Bash this weekend. The 10th-ranked Tide will face Georgia State, 9th-ranked FSU, and Northern Iowa. I'll have more in a moment.
Everwood Treatment, an Alabama-based family-owned company, has been supplying quality pressure-treated lumber for over 30 years. As the official pressure-treated lumber of Alabama Athletics, we know the real work is done before game day. Everwood Treatment's process produces wood treated right. Our service-oriented team is dedicated to your shopping experience. If you need it, we'll get it. For a dealer near you, visit EverwoodTreatment.com. Everwood Treatment, the official treated lumber of the Alabama Crimson Tide, your treated wood source.
Bama baseball hosts Washington State this weekend in Tuscaloosa. Doubleheader today will be followed by the series finale tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Also, 7th-ranked Bama gymnastics will visit number 16 Auburn tonight. And the Alabama track and field teams will send 41 student-athletes to the SEC Indoor Championships. Those will be hosted by Texas A&M this weekend. That's your Bama Update. Crimson Tide Today, brought to you by Everwood Treatment Company, is a production of the Crimson Tide Sports Network.
A new state-of-the-art indoor shooting range is coming to Huntsville. Bullet and Barrel, offering 19 indoor climate-controlled lanes and a fully stocked store with firearms, accessories, and clothing. Bullet and Barrel provides professional-friendly firearms training, great for new and experienced shooters. Become a member now at a special pre-grand opening rate. Bullet and Barrel, on Lehman Ferry Road near the corner of Airport Road. And online at bulletandbarrel.com. Bullet and Barrel. Serious fun. Gunter's Landing is one of the Tennessee Valley's finest golf experiences. In 2017, Gunter's Landing was ranked the number 2 course to play in Alabama, ranked number 14 in the U.S. for staff friendliness, and ranked number 18 in the U.S. for value by Golf Advisor. Just 25 minutes from downtown Huntsville, Gunter's Landing's 18-hole championship jewel is open to the public Tuesday through Sunday, located in the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains. With beautiful Lake Guntersville vistas around every corner, a golf experience like no other. Gunter's Landing is golf the way nature intended. Gunter's Landing is offering golf memberships starting at $2,500 for new members, which includes unlimited golf, cart, range balls, par 3 practice area, and preferred tee times. Gunter's Landing would like to welcome the Stephen DeBoer Golf Academy. Call 256-582-3000 or visit their website at gutterslandinggolf.com to book your tee time or more information.
When it comes to the success of your small business, you make every dollar count. So what could you do with $10? It may not sound like a lot of money, but it's enough to turn 500 strangers into 500 connections. All it takes is the right business card. Go to Vistaprint.com today, and you'll get 500 high-quality custom business cards for only $9.99. You heard right, 500 business cards for $9.99. That's less than 2 cents per card, but don't let the price fool you. Vistaprint uses only carefully selected inks and paper stocks, so your satisfaction is absolutely guaranteed every time for any reason. You'll find dozens of designs that are just right for your business at Vistaprint, and you can add your logo and contact information with just a few clicks. It's never been easier to turn strangers into connections. Just visit Vistaprint and start today, because this offer won't last forever. Get your 500 business cards for just $9.99 at Vistaprint.com. Use promo code 3131 at checkout. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code 3131.
The sky becoming mostly cloudy tonight with only a small chance of a shower, the low 62. Tomorrow mostly cloudy with a chance of scattered showers. Strong storms arrive after midnight tomorrow night, the high 78. Sunday, rain and storms will taper off during the morning hours, the high at 64. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
Wipe your paws. It's time to enter the doghouse.
Back, Tom Abraham Show on a Football Friday in the Doghouse. We'll get the phone lines open up again in a little while. You can jump in. We'll reset some of the topics that we've thrown out there. Plus, we do have a Friday trifecta for you. We're looking at Auburn at Florida. No line. I mean, even though Florida's a two-point favorite, which is shocking to me. Auburn at Florida. Give me a winner straight up. Preds hosting the Blues Sunday morning straight up. And then give me your car for the Folds of Honor 500 in Atlanta. And whoever ends up with the, if you get the two wins, whoever has the highest finishing car will be our winner in the trifecta. If we have ties, everybody's getting their tickets. All winners get tickets to a Huntsville Havoc game coming up, and all winners are entered into the drawing for the Talladega tickets to the sprint race. So we'll have that for you coming up as well if you want to get in on that deal. Tiger Woods on his final hole after making the double bogey on 16, came back with a birdie on 17, and he is on the par 5 18th hole right now. Justin Thomas is at 1 under par. He is in after shooting a 2 over 72 today, as did Jason Duffner shoot a 2 over par 72. So Duff is at 1 over par, Thomas at 1 under par, and the cut line keeps moving up. So it's going to be an interesting weekend for golf fans, because Tiger Woods is going to be playing late. Not in the last group, but he's closer to the last group than he is to the first group, and he ain't going home yet, even though he lives right near there at Palm Gardens, Florida. All right, joining us now, the new daddy, Josh Ward. He's a great SEC insider for us, and had himself a little baby. His wife actually had the baby last week, but Josh joins us now on the Woody Anderson Ford VIP hotline. Josh, welcome in. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, and my baby's lucky that he got, we had a son, his name is Owen, he got my wife's good looks, so he avoided whatever I have to offer, which is not much.
That's a good job by you. Now, how many does this make for you?
Oh, this is our first.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, God, this is the best part. I did that like nine times, you know what I mean?
It's on now. It is, Tom. So not that much sleep this past week, good amount of coffee, but we're having a great time. Owen's doing great, too, so we're really lucky.
How many times has your wife called the doctor since you brought the baby home?
You know, we're kind of a work in progress. So I think we've adapted very well, but we also, we're fortunate in that we have a lot of family members that I guess they like us, but they really like our son now. So we've had grandparents that have been stopping by, and one of his grandmothers that lives out of town is coming in tonight to meet him for the first time. So it's a big weekend up as well.
Very, very cool. Okay, so you're not like these parents, these first-time parents that like, oh, he hasn't pooped in the last 4 hours. We need to call a doctor. I think he's constipated. We got to take him back to the hospital. So you're not that parent at this point yet.
No, we're not. I am the I'm a YouTube parent though, so I've looked up a number of things. My first swaddle was done via YouTube, which I had done. We did the newborn class and all that stuff, and I swaddled in class. But swaddling a doll and swaddling a living human who is kicking and fighting it, two different things. But I think we're better parents now than we were 6 days ago.
Yeah. Well, I'm a bit of a Neanderthal. My first swaddle was done with our third child. So I'm just saying, you know what I mean? I was that guy. You know what I mean? I supervised well. I would be real good watching my wife do all of that stuff, but I'd be like, man, you don't want me getting involved in that. You know, let her handle that. So, all right. Well, that's good. It's a beautiful thing. Every day is so amazing as they grow. It's so cool. So, well, God bless you on that. And that's going to be tremendous stuff. All right.
Thank you.
Let's move forward to the story that came out today. Because I went immediately, I mean, it was such a splashy headline, and there were so many things that came out regarding the college basketball investigation. And it was interesting, certainly, to see people's names on a sheet of paper with money amounts next to them and so on. But it really didn't seem to shed a whole lot of light, at least to me. And I focused on the Colin Sexton thing because, you know, Alabama and Colin Sexton, that was prominent in the story. The only thing is that it seemed like the same thing that they knew, that he had a meal with this guy, Hawkins. And, I assume that's what he got that one game suspension for. I don't think Alabama would have risked the entire season. There's nothing in there that says that he, even who paid for the meal. What was your take when you read the thing?
Well, it, you know, not much in there is surprising. It's really a matter of you've got Andy Miller here, so a lot of it is, okay, which players end up being connected to him? It, you know, this could happen with a number of different people. Mm-hmm. And I think we've also become, I don't know, is numb correct, but when we see stories like this, I think there's so much either awareness of what's going on with college sports behind the scenes, or maybe our priorities have just shifted in terms of what really bothers us. That, I mean, it's no doubt a big story, and I'm very curious how it's going to affect what happens either in the short term or long term with college basketball. But you know, I can't lie to you and say that I'm surprised by any of it. It was really a matter of finding, okay, which names are connected to it. I mean, if you see Markel Fultz's name, the guy that was the number one pick in the NBA draft for Miles Bridges, a guy that's been a prominent basketball player the last couple of years, is anything like that going to surprise you? Brian Bowen, who there's a reason that he is now at South Carolina. We're not surprised, obviously, to see his name. So to me, it's more about, okay, what is the impact, and does anything else happen with other people? But there are probably a lot of people that are either breathing a sigh of relief today because they're not connected to Andy Miller, or worried that their connection to somebody else who might have been doing something wrong does come to light.
And I think there's also a disconnect between this and the criminal cases against the guys who, you know, basically were involved with the sneaker companies and the AAU and all of that kind of stuff. That's kind of a different animal than this, right? I mean, we can't be in the mindset that, well, you know, this now these other guys are in the clear necessarily. It's two different things, right?
Yeah, very much so. I don't think anybody's in the clear right now. That's why I would say or repeat that you probably have a lot of nervous people out there, and you know, a lot of names come out, and you've got big names in the story. But that's why it's not surprising, because you almost just expect that. You expect big schools to be mentioned, then you expect denials, by the way, from coaches that we had nothing to do with anything, we didn't pay for anything, my staff didn't pay for anything. What is the, you know, with the players that are currently playing, what is the effect on them? And more is going to come out. So I think that will affect a lot of this, is the knowledge. It's one thing to find a violation of $1,500 here, $500 here, a couple grand over there. But a lot of it's knowledge. What did coaches know? And that's what I think a lot of people are going to want to find out there. If you discover that something happened, there's a way to deal with it. If you discover that something happened and coaches were aware and connected to it, then they're going to have a big problem, because if you don't comply, then you are often going to get in big-time trouble with the NCAA.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's the thing. I mean, even the big numbers, like with Dennis Smith, who was at State last year, North Carolina State last year, you know, on the papers it shows $43,500. That's a lot of money. And then another guy from the ASM said that it was $73,500 in, quote, loans and so on. Okay, that's all fine, but isn't that between these agencies and the agents and the players doing violation? The only time that becomes a huge problem for a program is if they can say, all right, such and such a coach, John Calipari, not to say that it was John Calipari, told the agent to give the kid the money. You know what I mean? Short of that, this is kids and agents, not universities necessarily, except for the ones that have already been clipped and are involved in the, you know, that we've seen guys that have been suspended or fired or arrested.
Right. I mean, there's already been an impact. And, of course, coaches right now, that you have Auburn situation with Chuck Person. What kind of information is behind the scenes provided so that guys who are in trouble right now can maybe save themselves or lessen whatever kind of punishment they might be facing? And then how are other people affected by that? That's why it's still a developing story. It's also not ideal timing for the NCAA or for college basketball, in that we are just a couple of weeks away from the NCAA tournament, and this is your big story that is going to get a ton of attention. And really, the sport has been spared from it. It took off before the season began, and I think a lot of the conversation was, how would this affect this season? Is this going to be the storyline, not the basketball? And it really hasn't up until now. Now this is leading the headlines again with college basketball. So how does it affect the NCAA tournament in terms of the discussion? But I think a lot of the conversation is about long-term impact, what it will do with different programs, and again, what other information comes out, because I think you've had a lot of nervous coaches around college basketball, because they know that they have had information. It's a matter of, what do they get caught doing? I mean, let's be honest with ourselves here. Cheating goes on in college basketball. This is just starting to give you a little documentation to go with it.
And again, the majority of this at this level here, from today's discoveries, are the cheating between players and agents, and that's why, if they ever get rid of the one and done, and these players, these kids can sign with an agent at that particular point in time. The other part of this, which was so stunning to me, was how detailed and in, these balance sheets. I mean, this is all worked up and everything like it's just a normal business operation. These agents know that they're way, way out of line doing this stuff. Is it surprising to you at all how much level of detail, these typed out documents with exactly what everybody has gotten and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, a little bit. Let's see if there's any information that they have with communication with people connected to college basketball that affects things. But it's good accounting, isn't it? It's good note-taking, so that you can have everything taken care of at the end of the year from a financial standpoint. But it's not ideal today, or wasn't when the FBI was looking through information, when you have an exact reason for Brian Bowen's flight or his mother's flight or something connected to Josh Jackson. I mean, it's pretty cut and dry when you see it written why that money was passed along. Yeah, it kind of reminds me of the Oregon Chip Kelly issue, was like, well, you had some things buttoned up internally, but that's not what you're supposed to do. There's a reason cash is the preferred payment method, but this is again a little different. These aren't Andy Miller's not at a school; he's out there in the agency world. But does he have information of, yeah, this coach knew that I was doing this, and this coach promised me that he would help me get the player back once he was ready to go pro? That's what I think we're waiting to find out, is what kind of a connection, and is there any documented proof, is there written communication that would back that up?
In the meantime, Josh Ward with us, our SEC insider. In the meantime, two SEC coaches are finalists for the National Coach of the Year. The Naismith Award is the Coach of the Year, and of course that's Rick Barnes and Bruce Pearl. And Barnes has done a tremendous job. It's hard not to look at Bruce Pearl, of anybody on that list. It's hard not to look at the job that Bruce Pearl has done, and with all of the different issues that they've had along the way, whether they were self-inflicted at the beginning of the season or whether they were injuries and things like that, to not think that he's got to be the guy that everybody's chasing.
Yeah, and Bruce Pearl's a fascinating part of this story, because on the court, it's remarkably impressive what he's been able to do with the record that he has. The SEC has been so good this season and deep, and any night you can lose to any team, and that really is the case. Look at who some of the good teams have lost to or almost lost to, and Auburn has risen above all of them with players that can't play because of the issues we're talking about with the NCAA investigations, and then you have injuries that affected them recently. That went over Alabama the other night was a big one for Auburn. But you also have the question, in a couple of months, is Bruce Pearl going to be Auburn's basketball coach? I don't know. But in a year where the league is as strong as it's been in a long time, it's two teams that for different reasons receive very little attention at the start of the season, Auburn and Tennessee, and it's really impressive. And, of course, you have both coaches that are former Tennessee coaches in Bruce Pearl and Rick Barnes. They both done an outstanding job, and they both have a chance to get really high seeds in the NCAA tournament in a couple of weeks ago, despite their roster limitations. So both are no-brainer candidates for Coach of the Year with the jobs that they've done, with a week and a half still to go in the regular season.
All right, before I let you go, it's here, right? Spring ball starts on Monday. Vanderbilt will be the first one to go. No spring game. I mean, it's Vanderbilt, right? I mean, it's like, we're not about having a spring game. Apparently they didn't get the memo. But we get a lot of spring ball getting started next week. Also, Arkansas gets going, Ole Miss, South Carolina, Auburn will open next week. So it's going to be a very interesting spring ball. But just in general, overall, not to get specific about particular teams, it seems to be that this is going to be not only a fascinating spring, but a fascinating SEC media days with all the new coaches that are in. And, of course, the fact that we'll be going to the College Football Hall of Fame. They've already announced the order of everybody and so on. This is really going to be one of the more, I guess, fascinating is the word, off seasons, spring into summer seasons, I think, that we've had in a long time.
Yeah, no doubt. I think a lot of it is that transitioning time. You have Alabama, which is still great. You have Georgia, which is establishing itself. But you have a lot of these programs, some major programs, that have new head coaches, and you've had a lot of coaching moves, and you have questions about what's going to happen moving forward with a program like LSU with Ed Orgeron. And Gus Malzahn, big contract, won the West, but what is the future there? Jared Stidham. So you know, those are some specific examples, but a lot of it is just, okay, what does the future look like for these programs over the next 2 or 3 years? You're even getting more talk about how long does Nick Saban want to be the head coach, even while that program's still on top. So I think it's going to be a fun spring and fascinating conversation. We're not going to be short for storylines when we get to SEC Media Day. Sometimes it can be kind of stale. And maybe this past summer it was a little bit. I don't think it will be this summer. This summer we'll have all kinds of things to talk about.
No, I think it's going to be. I think it's going to be tremendous, and I think it's interesting. I think that Jeremy Pruitt and Nick Saban are on the same day, right? Did I see that correctly? I'm just going by memory. I don't have my sheet in front of me, but when
that's correct. They're the third day, so you have Saban and Alabama, which you know has gotten so much attention. Tom there in Hoover, and it's not going to be there anymore.
Yeah.
But you have now his former assistant, and Georgia goes the day before Nick Saban does. So you have Kirby Smart, another former assistant, that will be going day number two.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see if what the optic is like there, because it's a lot closer to Auburn now, just about 85, 90 miles up the road for Auburn. And, of course, it's about 70 miles from Athens, and there's so many Georgia fans in that in the Atlanta area anyway. It'll be interesting to see if the feel is a lot different than it had been in Hoover, or if Alabama fans, which there are a ton of in East Alabama and into Georgia, if Alabama fans will represent on the road in Georgia for SEC Media Days. It's going to be pretty neat, I think.
Yeah, I wonder too. And Alabama fans will find a way to be there. You've had the ring hat guy that's been there the last few years. We had the painted dog for the Auburn Tigers as well. So they'll find a way, I'm sure, to make it a spectacle.
Yeah. All right, man. Appreciate you as always. Tremendous work, and enjoy that little baby. I like the name Owen, and we'll talk again next week.
Yeah, actually, he's crying downstairs, Tom. So I'm going to go. I'm sure I've got some duties that are calling
you very soon. Where's your wife? I told you I'm a Neanderthal. Find your wife. You don't go to the baby. You go to the wife. Hey, the baby's crying. What's going on down there?
Yeah, I promise she's going to find me. You might be getting a call from her if I get in trouble here. Just to let you know.
Yeah, I hear you. I feel it. I feel you. You don't want to test that. All right, man. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it.
I'm just lucky that I got an old school wife. Okay, I'm lucky that I got an old school. T-Mac's like, oh, that was funny what Tom said about it. He swaddled the baby. It was the third child. No, I'm not kidding. I'm not even kidding about that a little bit. We have roles. We have roles in the Abraham Castle, okay? I got a job. She got a job. And I got to get a break in here. We'll be back with more right after this. 730-1039 up.
Sports Radio 730 and 1039. The UMP. WUMP.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Start the spring season right with big lawn and garden savings at Ace. Now through Monday only. Get our coupon at acehardware.com and save 25% on a regular priced item under $50. That's 25% savings on great products from Scotts, Miracle-Gro, Roundup, Ortho, and more throughout the store. Hurry in now to get 25% savings only at your local Ace. Offer valid with coupon at participating stores through February 26th. Limit 1. Exclusions apply. See coupon.
By the time that we got up there, his room was filled with smoke.
The wind had blown and drifted the snow up against the side of my house, blocking the exhaust from my furnace.
I heard the smoke alarm going off in my friend's apartment.
Without the Kidde smoke alarm, my son would not be here today.
Had it not been for that carbon monoxide detector, they would come to school and not have their teacher there.
I grabbed my fire extinguisher and put out the fire.
Kidde makes technology that saves lives.
Get these essential products at the Home Depot.
Here's what you'll hear tonight on The Ump.
There are no games on the air tonight, but you can tune in this weekend for Alabama men's basketball, women's basketball, and even Crimson Tide baseball. That's all weekend, all right here on The Ump.
Picture streams in our community. That's where our kids play and dogs splash. And some of these streams provide the water we drink. But is the water in these streams clean and safe? The truth is, for most local streams, no one knows. That's a problem. One the Isaac Walton League can help you solve with the Clean Water Challenge. For almost 50 years, the Isaac Walton League of America has helped people just like you test the water in local streams, clean up pollution, and protect healthy waters. Today, the Isaac Walton League has an ambitious new goal. Engage volunteers across the country to test 100,000 more streams for pollution. You can protect clean water in our community by joining the Clean Water Challenge. To get involved, visit IWLA.org. That's IWLA.org.
Cube Show.
He tweets, proud to proclaim at UCF underscore football as national champions in Florida. Is Alabama going to be okay not being national champions in Florida?
Where's their opening game this year?
Oh, it is in Orlando.
Well, we got a controversy.
Alabama will open the season in the state in which it is not recognized as national champions.
Not my champions. Next year. By the way, in Orlando, that happens to be where UCF is at. What? You're going deep into the den.
Going right in. right into the round table.
That's right.
Weekdays 6 to 10.
Premature birth is the number one killer of babies. Those who survive often face birth defects and complications that affect them for life. A healthy birth is the dream of every parent. But for hundreds of thousands of families with a baby born too soon, the reality is their baby's first home is the newborn intensive care unit. It's the hardest thing they will ever have to face. And it's even harder on the baby. This is a crisis that knows no boundaries. 15 million babies are born prematurely worldwide. Nearly 1 million will die before their first birthday. Do something today. Help the March of Dimes provide education and support to families and fund life-saving research to give every baby a fighting chance. Give them tomorrow at marchofdimes.org/tomorrow.
Having a place to go after school will make you a better student. Having an outlet to express yourself will make you a better artist. Having something to do together will make you a better family. At The Y, we're helping build better friends, listeners, writers, swimmers, scientists, and musicians, one chance at a time. Give the gift of opportunity. Support The Y at ymca.net. The Y, for a better us.
Weather is sponsored by Shell. Get the feeling of being rewarded with gold status at Shell with the Fuel Rewards program. Download the Fuel Rewards app and join and start saving 5 cents a gallon today.
The sky becoming mostly cloudy tonight with only a small chance of a shower, the low 62. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a chance of scattered showers. Strong storms arrive after midnight tomorrow night, the high 78. Sunday, rain and storms will taper off during the morning hours, the high at 64. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
Call 866-485-9867 to get your bark on. Here he is, the head of the household. The big dog, Tom Abraham.
Welcome back, Tom Abraham Show. You know, we haven't had very many updates with T-Mac because I keep blabbering on and on, but luckily there really hasn't that much going on, right, T-Mac? I mean, other than setting up tomorrow's basketball games and things like that, you got Alabama and Washington State playing baseball right now. Auburn's playing tonight. Alabama's up 9-4 over Washington State there in the bottom of the seventh with one out and two men on. So,
yeah. Other than that, I mean,
they're scoring, they're scoring assault, if you will.
Yeah, other than that, you just got some SEC teams playing baseball. Tennessee's down 2-1 to UNC Greensboro in the bottom of the sixth.
Ugh.
Mississippi State's up 5-2 on UC Santa Barbara. That's top of the seventh. Kentucky's blanking Oakland 8-0, top of the fifth. A&M's up 3-1 on Cornell, bottom of the sixth, as that comes in blaring. Georgia up 5-0, top of the third on Charlotte. Vandy's bottom of the second, still scoreless against UMass. And Ole Miss right now 2-1, top of the third over Tulane. And Arkansas tied up Cal Poly, top of the sixth. South Carolina 6-0 over Charleston Southern, top of the eighth.
Do we have either of the weekend games, do you know, for Alabama and Washington
Alabama
State?
Baseball is Sunday, I believe.
Okay.
Got that going on Sunday here.
Yeah, because I think they're going – I thought I heard they were going with a doubleheader tonight because of potential weather tomorrow in Tuscaloosa. So it might be that way. Of course, we'll have Alabama basketball tomorrow. Very important game for those dudes as they try to win one, lose one, win one, lose one, win one, lose one. That's what they do. All right, top of the hour is wide open. We will reset the trifecta. We'll get back to our conversation about Mike Tyson and Deontay Wilder. So if you want in, jump on the lines now on 730-1039. Yeah.
Sports Radio, The Ump, because we care. It's now time for Time to Kill with Arky Shea.
Oh, what a tangled web we weave in which we practice to deceive. That is college basketball right now, and the latest report out of Yahoo shows that there is a whole lot of webbing and deceiving going on. 25-plus players named in the first stage of this report from 20 different universities to have had some association with getting money or extra benefits from an agent. This, the biggest question out of all of this is, what is the NCAA going to do? Not as in who's going to get punished, but how do you punish everybody when it is literally everybody? How do you get into all of these players, all of these coaches, all of these universities, and fairly and equitably judge these guys? This is the toughest thing the NCAA maybe has ever had to do. And that's saying a whole hell of a lot.
Don't miss the Cube Show with Cole Kubelik and Arky Shea. Weekday morning, 6 to 10 a.m. only on The Ump.
This is big.
You mean the new sale at Macy's? Oh, yeah, it's so big.
Because there are thousands of new fashion and home markdowns.
Thousands, that's really big.
Plus, we get an extra 20 or 15% off with our Macy's card or savings pass.
Okay, this just keeps getting bigger.
There's more. Like tons of great new finds in Last Act.
Wait, that's where the prices are already so low you don't need coupons?
You got it. The price you see is the price you pay.
Okay, three words.
This is big.
Go big right now at Macy's. Savings off sale prices. Exclusions apply.
Hey, gang, Tom Abraham here for Woody Anderson Ford with some ideas for a New Year's resolution. One, go have breakfast or lunch at Henry's Mustang Cafe at Woody Anderson Ford at Sparkman and Jordan Lanes. Two, have your vehicle serviced at Woody Anderson Ford and marvel at the brand-new state-of-the-art service lanes. Three, check out the new showroom at Woody Anderson Ford. It's like visiting an auto show, complete with first-class seating and huge video walls, and you can get a killer deal on a brand-new Ford. The neat thing is, all of these things are at Woody Anderson Ford at Jordan and Sparkman Lane.
When it comes to the success of your small business, you make every dollar count. So what could you do with $10? It may not sound like a lot of money, but it's enough to turn 500 strangers into 500 connections. All it takes is the right business card. Go to Vistaprint.com today, and you'll get 500 high-quality custom business cards for only $9.99. You heard right, 500 business cards for $9.99. That's less than 2 cents per card, but don't let the price fool you. Vistaprint uses only carefully selected inks and paper stocks, so your satisfaction is absolutely guaranteed every time for any reason. You'll find dozens of designs that are just right for your business at Vistaprint, and you can add your logo and contact information with just a few clicks. It's never been easier to turn strangers into connections. Just visit Vistaprint and start today because this offer won't last forever. Get your 500 business cards for just $9.99 at Vistaprint.com. Use promo code 3131 at checkout. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code 3131.
As a small business owner, you're always on the go. So how can you make sure you never miss a customer's call? Grasshopper. That's right. With Grasshopper, you get all of the features of a business phone system that's affordable and incredibly easy to use directly on your cell phone. You get a toll-free or vanity phone number that's memorable and professional. Customers are forwarded to your phone and connected to your team. And you can work from anywhere using Wi-Fi calling or our desktop app. And with our mobile app, your outgoing calls and texts show up as your professional phone number. Voicemails are transcribed and sent to your email so you can determine their importance at a glance. So whether you're on the go or working from home and need to keep business calls separate, or you simply want a professional tone, Grasshopper makes it happen. Set up your account in just minutes. There are no long-term contracts and support is 24/7. Get your calls, stay connected, thrive. Now get $20 off your first month when you visit grasshopper.com/radio. Grasshopper.com/radio.
Smart lights, smart locks, smart thermostats. You love your new connected technology. And the Consumer Technology Association wants to help you protect the security of your devices. First, don't use default or easy-to-guess passwords. Create unique ones and keep them safe. Next, look for and install security updates from device manufacturers. Also, have an active firewall for your home router and consider using a professional installer to set up your new devices. Easy tips from the Consumer Technology Association to help keep your devices secure.
100 years ago, there were 100,000 tigers in the wild. Today, there are as few as 3,200. The Earth's wild animals can't speak up when they need help, but we can. Be the voice for those who have no voice. Visit worldwildlife.org.
Sports Radio 730 and 1039. The UMP. WUMP Madison. W28 OBA Madison Huntsville. A Cumulus.